We were going to, originally I was going to cover two chapters today, but about 7 o'clock last night I realized that probably wasn't going to happen, so we're going to cover one chapter today, and you know, I guess if you do one chapter well and glean what you possibly can out of it, then then that would be a blessing for everybody, I hope. So last week and the week before, we talked a little bit about the Apostle Paul and him being the person he was. The man he was. He was highly educated. He was had spoke many languages. He was very, very important. He was a Roman citizen. And being a Roman citizen, he could travel absolutely anywhere in the Roman Empire without any problem whatsoever because he was a Roman citizen. And he was a Jew. And the Romans had this unbelievable, weird relationship with the Jewish people. They kind of let them do their own thing because they were kind of obnoxious people. And so they were pretty strong-willed. They would not put somebody that was a Jew in the Roman army. And the reason for that was they wouldn't serve, they wouldn't do their army duties on the Sabbath day, which is great. Yes, Brother Bill.
If I could interrupt momentarily, I don't know if your thing's on standby or if
uh-oh, new battery. Thank you, appreciate that. It was green a second ago. So go, I mean, see how really swift life is? It can go from green to orange just like that. It's like you being in the intersection, right? But I thought it was, I had plenty of time. And remember, the orange light means accelerate, right? So, no, it doesn't in Federal Way. When you see an orange light, clamp on your, they have cameras everywhere, and you will get it. I got a ticket in Fife last year because I made a right-hand turn, and right in front of me, everybody was going left like this, you know, and there are two lanes of traffic flow. Well, I've got an automatic free right turn. It's not, it's a no-brainer, right? So I didn't quite stop. That was $144 that I didn't quite stop dollar ticket, you know, so stop. Just stop. It's not worth $144 for that 1.5 seconds that you'd be waiting. Anyway, so we talked a little bit about the Apostle Paul and the amazing person he was. And thank you so much. I appreciate that. And Paul was absolutely right man, obviously, to take the gospel, as it were, to the... Paul was the right man to take the gospel to the non-Jewish nation, which we would call the Gentiles. In other words, everybody but the Gentiles. And we also talked about Tarsus and a little bit about the city that it was. And then we also talked about Ephesians. Ephesus, I'm sorry. Ephesus, obviously, is famous for the Temple of Artemis, or the Temple of Diana, as it were, the goddess of Diana. That was a very, very, very pagan, we would call it, very bad place to be in so many respects. However, we find that many of the converts were obviously coming over from being temple, you know, idol worshippers to Christianity when you see that it really messed up. I think the guy that made silver, was it... I can't remember his name now. Demetrius, yeah. And anyway, he was not happy because his silver trinket sales went down because people quit worshiping the idols. They quit buying his silver trinkets. So consequently, he was upset and he raised a fuss about the apostles' teaching. So anyway, and we read a little bit. Let's see. Let me get my Bible out here. And... we read a little bit, or we started off with the Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, through God's will, to his holy and faithful people in Ephesus. We went through the introduction, and we talked about that a little bit. And we actually got down to verse 4, but this morning we're going to start here. So the first few things we're going to talk about is verses 3 through 14. And that is the many blessings we have because we are God's chosen people. And so in verse 3, We see, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. And this blessed means basically praise be to God. That's a praise to God, okay? And we talked about that a little bit last week. In every spiritual blessing, all from God, all spiritual blessings have come from God. And when you think about what is my spiritual blessings, can you all in unison start telling me some spiritual blessings that we have? I would like to hear them from you. A relationship with God. What does that mean?
Love.
Very good. Isn't that 1 Corinthians 13, and it says a love is above all these things. It's hope, faith, and love, and it says that love is the number one thing. Yes?
Peace.
Absolutely. We have joy. We have hope of heaven. We have salvation. I mean, it goes on and on. What else? Anybody else?
Brotherhood.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that, Sean. Brotherhood.
Comfort.
Amen. Comfort. Excellent. Excellent. We have peace in our heart. I've been praying for peace in my heart so I can not going to be all nervous and up here.
Security.
What's that?
Security.
Oh, excellent. Yes. Security. That's a good one. I appreciate that. And the reason I want you to think about these, because these are big deals. This is everything. This is our life. This is what we are chosen to be. Yes?
Also, we talked about blessings in the heavenly places. Our own soul, we talked about, is temple of God.
Oh, absolutely. So our body is temple of God.
The Holy Spirit resides within our bodies.
Yeah.
So it's directly talking about us.
Yes, absolutely. And so, in part A of verse 4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And, of course, we'll talk about just a minute. He chose us in him before the world was. God chose to have people for himself and the whole church of Christ, right? And part B, that we would be holy and blameless before him. Being holy is our definite major purpose in life, right? It boils down to one word, holy. Our definite major purpose in life. In Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, fear God, and this is the last part of the verse, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And I like the whole chapter there because he goes through this litany of all the things that happen in life and that are common. Before you get old, you know, while you're living your life, this is the whole duty of man, is to fear God and keep his commandments. So this is our definite major purpose. So we want to keep in mind as we look at the rest of this chapter what our definite major purpose in life is. Yes, Brother Ben.
We can see in this verse, it says he chose us in him before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
That we would be holy and blameless before him. And we can always come back to the concept that none of us is in our own part holy and blameless. And we are not able to be that way. It is only because God declares us to be holy.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. He chose us to be that. And
to
we actually talked a little bit about that predestination. That's a big deal. In the world today, the second Bill and I get right to you. In the world today, of course, there are people that believe that Brother Bill was chosen, but Brother Tom, sorry, you might come to church, but you're not one of the chosen. There are people that believe that, and they teach that. That's not what God teaches. We are predestined in the manner that we choose, right, to be servants of God. We choose him. He has chosen us. He predestined that, yes, he's going to have a church, and yes, it's going to have members, Are you decided to be a member or not? It's a decision you make. It's not something that God says, oh, well, you know, I really, really don't quite like Brother Walker. He's okay. Or he's not okay, but Sean is. No, that's not the way. But there's people that teach that. And I want you to be aware of that. Because that goes on in the world today, and you will run into it if you talk to enough people. They believe this stuff, that it's predestined. So, and I forgot to talk about that. Also, I want to talk just for a moment, backing up to holiness. Our holiness, part of being here this morning is part of our holiness. It's a purity of your life, and it is your active worship to God in the way you live. Remember, we had a lesson a while back about everything we do is worshiping to God if it's the right thing to do. And so that's what we want to think about. We had a beautiful lesson on Wednesday night about glory, living in God's glory. Wow, what a powerful lesson. Do you want to live in God's glory or do you want to just shun His glory? No, I want to live in His glory. Brother Bill.
When I think of being holy, I think of when we're baptized, when we come up out of that water as the new man, we're talking about morphing into a new person, a
yes.
new being. And so I think of Peter's admonition in 2 Peter 1, you know, there's the nine virtues or characteristics that we are to learn to develop. And one of those is godliness.
Yes.
And it's learning to develop godly character, godly habits, and doing away with all my old sinful habits. And
yes.
if you notice, Peter writes in verses 8 and 9 is that it's not optional.
No.
We are mandated and required to grow in these areas.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Brotherly kindness or love or knowledge. Those are all
yes.
areas of our lives. And godliness and developing godly character is one of those.
Absolutely. And that was one of the reasons that I told you that we are studying the quote-unquote prison epistles primarily is because this is all about practical stuff. Once we get through this, then we're going to talk about how to live, and that's primarily what the rest of this chapter is, one way or another. Yes?
Holiness also has to do with God setting us apart, and what He sets apart is the condition of our hearts. God looks for people who have the same kind of heart that He does.
Absolutely.
Tender and caring, and wanting to do what God wants us to do, even though we fail time after time after time.
Right.
That's what grace is for. But what God's looking for is the heart.
Yep.
And I've stressed this before, and I can't stress it enough. It is the condition of the heart that God looks at.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's why our definite major purpose is to be holy. That is, should be my purpose in life. Brother Tom.
That word is agios. And man is in the lower part of that word, which I just read it. If the lowest part of that word is like if you think of the Sisters of Mercy in Calcutta, you think that outward of love and care and stuff like that. That's not what the word means. That might be a form of it, but there's a higher form of that word, hagios, is when you're in the presence of God.
Yes.
I just think you're in the presence of some authority, we'll say, like the President of the United States, something like that. Where you might need to be on your best behavior. But this word is real.
Absolutely.
On our knees, I suspect, on our face, you know.
Yeah. Well, we are in the presence of God always, and that's the idea of living in His glory, is that He's always with us, and we should be, we have talked about that before, we should absolutely 100% be the same person tomorrow at work as we are sitting here. We should have the same thought process. We should have the same love. We should have the same language. We should have the same everything. We should be the same person. That's what being part of being holy is. So moving on. In love, the very last, I don't know why they, I think it's probably because when they translated and then they put verses on something. But anyway, my dad used to call this as an unhappy spot for a verse to break. But right here, let's see, where's it? I got to find this red thing. There it is. Right here, in love, actually should be, in love, He predestined us for adoption as sons. Now, this is a big deal. He predestined us. He determined beforehand that we were going to be adopted as his son. To praise his glorious grace, in him we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins. What? Bob just said it. By his grace, right? In 1 John 1:17, let's going back here in verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood. This is a big deal. This is why we gather around every Sunday and remember Jesus, right? It's because his blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. There are some people in the world that think there's some sins that can't be forgiven of, sort of, kind of, right? They can't quite nail that down, but they just kind of tell you, well, blah, 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 this sin, blah, 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 and it's craziness. But anyway, point is, no, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and I praise him for that, and I thank him for that. Because if it didn't, we'd all be in trouble. So, and also on 1 Peter 1:19 alludes to the same thing. The blood of Jesus is our redeeming factor. It's what made the difference. And this was predetermined beforehand, right? Before the world started. That's what God was going to do. What a beautiful thought. What a beautiful thing. And then we're going to see about, he lavished upon us all wisdom and insight, made known the mystery of his will on purpose, which he set forth in Jesus Christ at the right time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Historically, there was the perfect time for Jesus to come. It was the absolute perfect time for Jesus to come. Historically, the gospel spread because of, and you can, political unrest. The Jewish people were in a train wreck of a mess because of their leadership. Because they would rather you, they had their own rules, lots and lots and lots of their own rules. They had more of their own rules than God had rules. So it's what they developed over time of what they considered, or what they thought was piety, but that kind of turned into, it's kind of like today, it turned into a political thing, and it also turned into a money bag thing, a source of income for the religious leaders. They were a mess. And of course, Jesus addresses them. John the Baptist addresses them. When they come out to see him baptized in the wilderness, he said, who warned you of the wrath to come? Who? when he calls them like a bunch of, they're like pretty on the outside. They were like whited sepulchers, he said, or empty tombs. They look pretty on the outside, but they're rotten on the inside. And that's what he talked about. So Jesus came at the right time. Okay. And he lavished upon us all wisdom. Can you believe this? He lavished upon us? What does that mean? In John 10:10, Jesus said, I came to give you life and to give it abundantly. Wow. And the word abundantly means way more than average. Way bigger. Way more than anything I could ever dream up or imagine. That's what Jesus came to give us. Well, through his salvation is way, way bigger than anything I could do. I can't even imagine the scope of what my salvation is. I mean, it's just unbelievable to me how much God loves us. And everybody here knows that sometimes when I talk about that, I start getting emotional.
Yeah.
Yes.
We also have to take into account that there are a lot of sects and preachers out there who believe that that is a physical abundance, gospel of prosperity. And we need to understand that God promised us homes out of the rain. He promised us food and clothing. That's about it. So this abundance is not talking about spiritual.
All of our needs are surely provided, aren't they? Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that. So in Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. It was right time. you got to believe that you either believe God's in control or you believe he's not in control. There's no middle ground saying, well, sort of, kind of. Like Tom ran into that guy the other day that said, but he didn't believe in God, but he believed in a higher power. The guy was all messed up. And Tom gave him, you know, some information to read, and hopefully that'll help him to realize that God is the authority. You got to understand or believe that he's the authority, or otherwise you don't have any common ground to talk about, right? So in 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 20, he has known before the foundation of the world, but was made known at the last times for you. In other words, Jesus was before the foundation of the world, and in the last times, right now, he was made known to us. So there you go. So moving on, so we can finish up today, maybe. In him we have obtained an inheritance. We have been predestined once again according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of God. And once again, we have obtained the inheritance. What that means, back in verse 5, we have been adopted. There's a young man sitting in the hallway back there. I think they have adopted. How many kids have you adopted so far? Perfect. Okay. So they got four precious little souls that they're able to adopt. Why in the world would somebody do that? Jeannie, was that you who said love? No, that's what it is. God loves us so much. And that's what we need to understand, of how much we are cared for. Brother Bob here has mentioned that several times and talked about that rich grace. That's from God's love for us. How much he loves us. We are adopted. That's a big deal. Verse 12, so that we now are the first to hope in Christ might be the praise of his glory in him. Verse 13, in him you also, when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel, your salvation, and believed in him, we're sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who has guaranteed our inheritance until we acquire and possess it to the praise of God of glory. Okay, in Acts, let's turn over a minute, just think about it. Acts 19, verses 1 through 6. Paul comes upon the scene there in Ephesus, right? And Apollos had went back to, I think, Corinth. And Paul comes upon the scene. So there's some people there that were teaching the word, the truth, but they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. Why? As they hadn't really been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They'd been baptized, but it was for John's baptism. And so we find in verse 5 that he taught them. And then, of course, there's that pesky thing. Until they were baptized in the name of the Lord, they didn't have the gifts they needed. Why? Because you got to be baptized. And the reason I've emphasized, this is the third time I've emphasized this in 3 weeks. Why? It's because the world says, what did we have that sign that says the false doctrine? Just name the name of the Lord and you're going to be saved. Right? That's false doctrine. That's a lie. An absolute lie. You have to be baptized. Yes?
Just kind of to clarify a little more of the details of this section of Acts 19, there's a couple of things going on. They had not been baptized.
That is correct. There's a lot of things going on. We could spend baptized. A whole class on that.
And then number two is that the gift of the Holy Spirit.
That's
in
right.
In particular, is an inspirational gift that they
that is correct.
Have Paul, after they were baptized.
That's right.
Laid his hands
then he laid his hand. That's right.
I'm not only making that point, which I think everyone here already knows the point, that is that they did not receive that gift of the Holy Spirit as a result of this baptism.
No.
It was a requirement that they be baptized and then the hand was laid
That's right. They didn't just get it, did they?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. I appreciate you bringing that up.
Yeah,
there's so many things we could bring up. I mean, this is my head is so full of mush and
just last
because
week,
what do we talk about? Yeah.
Just last week I ran into someone who had a confusion about this.
Yes.
And so we actually used this as a point right here.
Don't you love Brother Ben? I love it. Thank you, Ben. He puts it so gently. They had confusion about this. That's really what it is. They had confusion. They didn't believe you had to be baptized. Okay, moving on. Okay, so from here, we're going to talk about Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. I have heard of your faith and your love toward all saints. I always give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I like 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. Right? Give thanks for all things. Okay, we have to move on because we're running out of time. Verse 17, that God the Father of glory may give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of his knowledge with him. We're talking just momentarily about spiritual gifts. And 1 Corinthians 2:8, actually it's really in verse, I think, 7, 8, 9. And he's talking about spiritual gifts. One's given the spirit of utterance of wisdom. And that's what he's talking about here. Why do I need wisdom? Where does wisdom come from, first of all? Anybody? Where does wisdom come from? God. Wisdom comes from God. This is what his prayer is for them. I pray that we all have wisdom. We are looking at perhaps buying a building. I have prayed many times that God would bless us with wisdom on what to do and how to proceed. And how to go about it. What do we need to do? Brother Bob.
The interesting thing about spiritual gifts is they were not a guarantee that you were going to stay on the straight and narrow. Ephesus went south pretty fast after the apostles disappeared. And they had spiritual gifts. They had people with wisdom. They had miraculous healing. So it's not a guarantee.
Well, no.
It's supposed to be a help for them in the first century. But it was not a guarantee.
I'm holding here my Bible. Right. I wish I had one. I don't have one here. Is there a Bible right? No. Point is, all right, is it a guarantee because we have the Bible that we're going to stay on the straight and narrow? No. No, because everybody gets their, my dad used to call it, a lot of times people think they need to help God out. Right? That's how weird programs get started in churches. Is because we're going to help God out. God doesn't need our help. He just needs our service and our dedication to him. He needs us to be holy. All right. In Colossians 1:27, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches and the glory of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay. Our being Christians, right, is a blessing to everybody around us. We're the Gentiles today. In verse 19, and the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of God. The big deal then, and it really is now, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The big deal, right? Because there's a lot of religions out there who have a Bogwang whatever as their head. But nobody ever died for you and was raised from the dead. So he raised him. And he sits on the right hand of God. This is who Jesus Christ is. The head of the body, the church. And he sits at the right hand of God. I love Acts 7. Acts 7 is an amazing, if you ever just want to know at a quick glance what the history of the Jewish nation was, it's all in Acts 7. Stephen spelled it out so amazingly well. I mean, just boom, 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 boom. Later, the Apostle Paul did that. I think it's in Acts 19 chapter. So anyway, he gazed, they're stoning him. He gazed up into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. That's because, obviously, he's concerned about his servant. But there's Jesus at the right hand of God. That's my point. In verse 21, for above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Jesus is all in all, the head, the church. That's why this passage is so important. You need to know this like you know your first name. Because this is Jesus Christ's authority that he has, and it's given from God. This is the position he holds. He's our king. He's our head. He's our church. That's why we're members of the body. I lost the end of this finger years ago. And then when I was 3 years old, I lost the end of this finger. I don't remember this one. This one, I remember this one. The pain put me down. So that's the kind of pain, I can't even imagine the pain Jesus Christ went through for us. And he didn't have to. He was already the Son of God. So we're adopted into the family of God. We are the body. So when a member of the body goes astray, it's like if you've understood intense pain, I believe that might be what God feels and Jesus feels, because we're part of the body. We have to get that. We have to understand that. We have to believe that. We have to know that in our heart of hearts. And we have to live that. That we're part of this body. Everything I do that is positive affects this family. Everything I do that is negative and not right affects this family. How you live affects this family. If you want this family to be strong, you be strong. Right? You grow. You understand, like Brother Bill said, we have a responsibility to grow. And like Brother Bob has said several times, we constantly foul up. But what's our attitude? We get back up and say, I'm just no good. I can't do that. No, you can't do this. Are you kidding me? This compared to what? Because the world, or living in sin, or living a sinful life, is so much more difficult than living a godly life. I know. It ain't fun over there, and you ain't happy. And nothing stuff makes you happy. The only place you have joy is in the body of Christ. That's the only place there is to have peace, joy, love. So whenever I foul up, I affect this body. Jesus Christ, the head, right? He feels it. He felt it when Stephen was being stoned. He was concerned. When you go astray, the Lord Jesus Christ, your King, the head of the church, is concerned. I'm sorry? Oh, he aches. Yeah, that was my point about smashing the end of my finger off. The pain it caused me is like, ouch. My head, it hurts so bad. It hurt. I know what they mean. It hurts so bad I couldn't feel. I've had that happen a couple of times. I had this thumb crushed, this knuckle right here on my thumb crushed into 16 pieces years ago. Almost cut my thumb off, but it didn't. And, it was so painful I couldn't feel it. You know, when you get a bee sting, that smarts, right? Oh no, this pain, it doubles you over. You can't stand up straight. It's that painful.